Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Swasti here in Los Angeles County, where I'm sitting. But I want to welcome you to the Global Vision for Living Today show. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We have with us every week panel William Harrison, but before actually bringing him on, you know, he's been with us for over a year on this show. But I want to give you the title because it's very important, Man versus God, Part 2. I don't have to talk to you about what man is doing in relationship to God, what I call this ephemeral spirit, way, way, way up in the heavens. I don't have to talk to you about his form of worship, how to worship him in a way that he approves of. I don't have to talk to you about what he's been doing in the lives of many here on planet Earth. In fact, everybody. And I want to give you a little Man versus God, Part 2, Man versus God. It appears that mankind is in a lot of trouble because he's gone up and gone against a living creator that is already mapped out way, way, way back in eons of time what he would have and the individual that he created. He had a plan. He just didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, okay, you know, here it is. He had a plan for his created being. He had an idea of what he wanted them to do to be happy here on Earth. He had a plan for them living out a long life with peace and security, no one bothering them, no one trying to kill each other, no one trying to put each other down, God himself. But hey, I tell you, we have learned and are learning the hard way that God is not one to be mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that is what he's going to reap. He shall reap that. That's a promise. That's not, well, you know, maybe, you know, if I feel good, you know, I might change that. Oh, no, no, no. There's been no change. Whatsoever a man sows. And he's going to think it first before he says that he shall reap. So we're going to talk this morning again about Man versus God, Part 2, because we had a lively show last week. And every week we're showing that there is a way that seems right to man. But, of course, without God's direction, his steps are at best faulty. His steps end in destruction of self and everything, everyone around him, if he does not honor that what I would call ideology. If God said it, then there it is. So what's wrong with man, that mankind, that he feels that he can go up against his creator, that he can plan his life out and live it the way he pleases? What is the problem? Man pits himself against God when he goes against God's rules, regulations, his standards, and, of course, the steps that he would want him to walk in and, of course, to follow in. What is our problem? What is wrong with man? I know you probably have heard a lot of statements made about God, you know, whether or not he even exists, whether or not, but he said in a book called The Bible, a series of scrolls, that maybe he didn't mean what he said, or maybe he made a mistake. But what is man's problem that it appears he does not want to follow sound reason from a God that said, I am God, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, that is my name? What seems to be our problem? Colonel Harrison, I see you come in on the dashboard. What seems to be our problem as a people?
Good morning to you, Dr. Compton, and listening audience. Once again, a pleasure to be with you and the audience. Man's problem is that of disobedience. Man is rebellious. Doth man make woman and child rebellious? Not want to obey the true and living God, not want to believe in the true and living God, not want to accept that there is a true and living God, when clearly various biblical books from the Torah, which is the the Hebrew Bible for the Jews to the Septuagint, the Greek Bible, to the traditional Holy Bible in English. It outlines just clearly there's a supernatural superior being that's infinite in knowledge and wisdom that's greater than man, yet man still rebels. And so the world is in the shape and the condition it's in now because of man's disobedience and man's rebellious attitude toward the true and living God.
Yeah. I see your point. You said man is in trouble because he's not obeying God. Well, let me say this. How many people do you know, have you run across that have said, I'm going to get up this morning. Uh-oh, I had my coffee. Here I go. I'm getting ready to take off. 3, 2, 1, that have gotten up and had to call and say, well, you know what, I'm going to get up and I'm going to obey God. How many people have you heard say, well, I'm getting ready to fly to Hong Kong, but I'm going to stop for a moment. I'm going to obey God. How many people have you heard that that are in the institutions that are supposed to be teaching about God and His Son? How many of them have you known, honestly speaking, that have gotten up and called you or called someone on the phone and said, hi, you know, I love you, but I'm getting ready to obey God? You don't hear that. You don't see it. While it is true that the scriptures have said through the apostles when they were in chains, for the powerful Pharisaic religion of that day, Romans powerful, and they were telling them, you know, I'm sick and tired of you guys going throughout the township talking about this one known as Jesus. I'm tired of it. We crucified him decades ago, and you mean to tell me you guys are still on 2 feet? Talking about him, we're going to kill you. We're going to do this to you. We're going to do this and that to your family. I send their family, so then we had family. And back then, if you had a family, you had a wife. So no playing around. So after they got admonished and scolded and scoffed it like that, they said, well, you know what? You know, I'm just going to tell it like it is. We must obey God rather than men. That's the scripture that I heard, I can't even tell you how many times. You know, if anybody wants to shut me up at the religious sector that I was in, there it is, there's the scripture. My father started picking it up. He said, they come, oh, Bishop, we shouldn't do this, we had to do that. And he would say, we must obey God rather than men. But you don't hear that these days. What you hear is from people that don't even know God. So, of course, if people don't know God, they're not going to obey him. And I'm not looking it up, but that word, obey, maybe I will, because that's really what the problem is. People are not obeying God. So I'm going to sit up here, and I'm going to look at that word, because we're scholars here, and we tend to really want to really tell it like it is. And when someone obeys someone, it means that they follow them. It says that as far as that definition, they follow them, they do what they say do, they honor what they are about, and so forth and so on. So can we legally say that people are not obeying God because they don't know anything about God? Let's talk about that, because as I look out at the world, I don't see anybody really obeying God. You hear a few scared to die that may have learned something about him 1,000 years prior. Yeah, they're afraid. But let's break that word down, because that is very important. I think like you obey the government, you obey the police, and people are not even obeying them. Let's break that word down. You say people are in trouble with the Creator because they need to obey God. Talk to us about that, Colonel Harrison.
Yes, Doc, and to set this up for us to add on to what you've said, we find your statement that we must obey God rather than man in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles that answered that we must obey God rather than man, because man was trying to influence Peter to do something that he knew was against God's commandments, ordinance, and creed. So as
can
we look at obey, obey means to be.
Can you talk to us about what the word obey means? We just established that they said that in that particular verse, they must obey God rather than man. What does it mean to obey God?
Obey means to, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Obey means to be obedient, to comply with, to agree with, to be in accord with. And so obey simply means to obey, to be in agreement and follow that which you have been instructed, that which you've been told, that which you've been directed to do. Be in agreement with and follow. Be in agreement with and follow. Comply with.
Well, hasn't been taught to obey, O-B-E-Y. Let's kind of break this thing all the way down, because I see the dead was hopping again. A lot of people want to get in and say something, but of course, hey, you guys, love you. We're not going there this morning. We're trying to really learn something. We're getting to the bottom of things, as you know we do. But what about the statement I made earlier? If people have not been taught to obey God, first of all, they've got to believe God is. They've got to believe this God who says, you know, I'm God of the universe, I created heaven and earth. What if a person has not been taught anything? I didn't say listen to, but what if they haven't really been taught anything about God? I mean, you know, if you have a crowd of people and you don't know what their biblical perspective is, or if they know anything about the Bible, or even if they don't want to hear it, well, there's ways you can find out by approaching them on a one-on-one basis. Knock, knock, knock. How would you like to, oh, hi. How would you like to learn how to live in paradise on earth or something? I mean, what about people that have not learned anything about him? They've sat and listened, but by their works, you have to look at what they're doing after they listen. How can a person obey a God that they don't know, not listen? He said that thou might know, and the scripture says that. If they just heard somebody talking, how can a person obey God if they haven't learned anything about him? Can you help us with that, Pastor? I know you're a pastor and you have your ministry. Can you answer that? Who's going to obey an unseen God that they haven't been taught to obey? They've taught to be scared of a God and to be sure you come here and worship God. Worship. Some of them don't even know what the term worship means. If you ask, go down the street and say, what does it mean to worship God? They aren't going to tell you. Now, they'll come out of a church side door, but they are not going to tell you. I put my money on anybody going in a church tomorrow, but they can, you know. Some can, maybe, I don't know. But how are they going to obey God, Colonel Harrison, if they don't know anything about him? So can you give us some things that we might need to do, because people is on God's bad side, man versus God. That's what this topic is about. They need to get off of God's bad side. How can that happen if they don't know anything about him? I mentioned the story to you this week about a youngster. He was a scholar, but he had never heard the name Jehovah. He didn't know how to spell it, and he asked me where I got that name from. What is wrong in society, especially the nation founded supposedly on godly principle?
Long story short, first they have to get to know who God is. It is the responsibility of parents to teach their children who God is. It begins in the home, with the mother and with the father, whether the mother and father are married or not. It's the responsibility of those who have children to teach their children who God is. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So if the foundation is not taught in the home as to who God is, it was taught by the grace of God, my mother taught all of, seven of us who God is, took us to church. We got to know, we got to understand, we learned, and she read the Bible, scriptures, and just made sure that we understood that there is a God, who God is, where God is, and what God can do for us. So people today seem to want to have children but not take on the full responsibility. Not only do they not teach them who God is, some of them don't properly teach their children the proper simple things such as right and wrong. Not to do this, not to do that. If you do, there's going to be consequences. So it begins with the family, the mother and the father, to teach the child who God is. Then they go from the home to the church, and those teachings and instructions are further strengthened and given more detail and information to help the child grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom as to who God is.
Wow, that sounds wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm going to just step aside for just a moment because you just hit the nail on something, Colonel Hassan. You talked about it's the responsibility of the, well, I'm going to talk about myself. You know, I honestly don't. Most people know about me, so I don't have to do too much talking except, you know, come to somebody's rescue, somebody's help, mentally, mostly. But let me tell you guys, hey, you guys, I see you guys getting hot in the line. Listen, be still, sit down, because I want to talk to you about this. Now, Colonel Harrison said, you know, it's the responsibility of the parents and the home, and that sure is right. But if you think in terms of the scripture admonition, who were they talking to? Who were they talking to? Who was he that said that talking to? Was he talking to a round group of people, aliens that have come into the nation of Israel and just any Joe Blow from just different tribes, Canaanite, Hittite, Jebusite, Nazarite? Okay, I'm not going to give you a Bible lesson, but now we need to know who is that person talking to. Right now on this show, we're talking to everyone living. This is 2021, but Colonel Harrison just touched on a point. He said the parents must train them. I was raised in a home where my mother did not train me. My father was imprisoned at an early age. Most of you go to praise, www.praisethyfather.com. I tell the full story of what happened, and my father on the roof, the police chased him on the roof and said, yeah, I see this nigga. I see that. I was in one corner of the house, pitch black. Let me tell you something, and I want you to really hear what it is that I got to say on this point. I was not raised in a godly home. I was not taught anything about the Bible at all. When I was age 7, I went out and on a sewing machine table. I put a communion at the age of 7. And I know where I got that from, but my mama told me, leave them sheets alone. And I was going down the neighborhood offering communion, some wine, but I had Kool-Aid and some cracker. And every Sunday I had that because, like I just said, I was not raised in a godly home. Nobody set me down and said, here's Luke 1, here's Psalm 80, 89, here's Nehemiah 1, here's something Obadiah said. No one told me anything. I don't know where I got that from. But I was the point I want to make, and Colonel's going to clear this up real fast, you know what, he's a scholar. I was not raised in a godly home. I didn't know anything about a Bible or anything except I saw open Bible, Psalm 23, on my mama's headboard. I never seen her pick it up. I never saw her read it. I saw Jehovah's name. I never heard her say anything about it. I watched what she was doing, and in me, I didn't want to do that. And we're going to talk about this at an upcoming women's meeting for Mother's Day that I've decided that, you know, I'm going to speak about my life. People are like, oh, sometimes how'd you grow up and all that? She did not tell me anything about what was in it, but I knew it was something special about it. When she was gone to the store, I jumped on the bed and I looked at it. I didn't even touch it. Psalm 23. I memorized it, but I didn't know anything about it at all. So because I was not raised in a godly home, at the age of 11, I knew when my father was released from prison, he came and he returned mom. Yeah, I found God and I talked to my dad, and his father was a well-known minister in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, I'm going to go that route. I'm going to become a preacher too. And issues happened. I was not taught anything about him. But what I knew was that it was something wrong with the world. I'm trying to help somebody, Holy Ghost. Something was wrong with the world. I looked out and I saw the world was in turmoil then. So nobody had to say that, you know, if you don't love people, then you aren't someone that can be a help to the world. So I wasn't taught. So Colonel Harrison, perhaps on the next, I think that's going to be a good idea, on our next topic show, we're going to be talking about starting in the home. Now, what good it's going to do, I don't know, because look at the world. It's crazy. But the scriptures do admonish that. But I see a topic here that says, what do you do if you were not raised in a godly home? So that, hey, you guys, hang on, because that might be next week's topic. But we're trying to get to the point of why man has turned on God, whether they believe in him or not. They are challenging God. They are trying to live their life without God. They don't know nothing about God. All they can do is tell you something about, well, yeah, I heard in church, blah, blah, blah. Well, I heard my pastor say blah, blah, blah. That has nothing to do with you. That, you can't take that going out in the world to help a salvation plan with God's backing. Well, I'm knocking on your door because my pastor says, oh, I heard something. They got to know Jesus said that thou might know. So right now, man is on a collision course with God because he don't know nothing about him. He don't know anything about him, nothing at all. So here we are to say, okay, Colonel Harrison brought it up early. People got to obey God. Well, now we're going to talk to you about how can a person obey God. I'm going to start it off. You're not going to run out there and try and find God. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is really, truly within. He resides in you by way of his spirit. So the first thing is personally and knowing about God. Whoever's shuffling around, please unmute your phone or unmute it or whatever, because that noise, you are shape-shifting. Please be still. You only got 10 minutes left to listen. God help you. You got 10 minutes. Let's make the best of it. How is a Christian going to? I'm going to stop talking to whoever that is. I got all the time in the world by flesh and by spirit. So you keep doing that, guys. Dr. Cappuccino is not going to be able to speak. We want to talk to you about how to obey God so that you don't put yourself in a fight against God. I would say step number one on learning how to obey God is by way of prayer. All you got to do is bow your head wherever you're at and pray and ask God to help you find the way. I did that at 16. I think I was 15 and a half. And I saw Jehovah's Witnesses out there on that sidewalk. And my mom and sister had chewed him out at the door. And I ran down the hallway into the kitchen and I looked at him on the sidewalk. And you know what I did? I bowed my head and I said, God, help me to be one of them. I want to be one of them. I didn't hear people talking about God. I saw what people were doing. They were going door to door. They were out there. They had Bibles. They had modern clothes on. I didn't see no big cheap standing with them and Lucy was sitting around. They all were talking on one accord. That moved me. Not that they knocked on the door and started trying to say something to somebody that probably my mom didn't have an education. She had an 8-grade education, but it was what I saw. And my dad used to say, I read the sermon that he heard once. He said, I read this one. So because of what I saw with them, and I really didn't know anything about them, I just knew they were talking about something holy. I saw them in action. So right now, we are told, admonished by Colonel Harris, to actually obey God. Number one, you're not going to obey him if you don't know nothing about it. Number one, pray to God to help you come into an arrangement where you can serve and worship him, not just sit and claim your word, but you got to serve. Serve means you're doing something. Serve God. Serve means you're doing something. Colonel Harrison, can you add to it?
Yes, yes, Dr. Coppettino, you said prayer. You have to get to know who he is. Then secondly, I would recommend they find a teacher of God's holy words. Find a teacher of God's holy words who can teach them who God is. There's many different holy writings and holy books out there, so that's why they find a teacher of God's holy words. Secondly, thirdly, study once you find a teacher.
Wait, hold it. Okay, I see a lot of activity here, and I see some comments here that I'm not going to get under right now. Hey, okay, Colonel Harrison said, find a teacher. Now, if you don't know anything about God, you don't know how to judge the man or woman of God, you don't know anything about what they might feel, false teaching, maybe it's inadequate teaching. So let's break that down. Number two. Colonel Harrison said to find someone. Colonel Harrison, tell the audience how they would know how to go out and find. First of all, where are they going to look? When you tell them to go find somebody, what criteria would they know to go out and try to find someone if they need someone to help them learn about God? How would they find that? What is the steps they got to take to find someone that they, I pray to God, that they're going to be the right teacher? How are they
going to
find that?
Certainly. They can go to local community churches. Local community churches is where it all began, in the family. Then from there to the local community churches, there are men and women who teach the principles of God, who God is, and all the necessary things they need to know to get them started and tutor them and teach them so they come to an understanding and be able to read one of the holy books themselves and then apply the teachings of the holy books to their personal lives. So it begins with finding a resource. Resources, local community churches. And or if they have a computer, they can go online and do research online. There's so many references online as to who God is, biblical principles, and all those kinds of things.
Okay. Because, you know, I was thinking about your ministry as the presiding minister of the International Platform for Peace, USA Division. I see you guys are embarking on, I guess, a teaching program because the title of your material is To Go Ye Therefore. So these people, go ye therefore, they are going to the people. Is that to mean the people have to get out or just start walking blindly down the street? Oh, yeah, this is Ebenezer Baptist. Let me go in here and see if this is not what you're referring to. So the synonym for your title, go ye therefore, you're talking about God's call one, whatever that is. Those people that have learned first about him, had some Bible teaching, Bible study free in their own home, they've been taught, and then, you know, they have these tests and all that. I mean, these people that you refer to, the Golden Cross, they're told to go out and seek them, go on the highways and byways. So I think we need to clarify what steps should be taken first, and these people really need to find out who God is and find him where he is. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know we're hot as firecrackers when you get on this show. We don't leave no stone unturned, and we're not playing around. You want real knowledge about God? You really want to know how to contact him? You want to know who is out there to help you? They're out there free of charge. Just open the door when they're not. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and let God know that you're on his side. Have a nice weekend.